Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Educational programs, enrichment experience, and resources necessary for appropriate manhood development. Okay. As we say, Joe, okay. You know, we got about five. We brought four or five. I can't count that far. We brought four or five young men up here to get involved, to get the exposure, get the experience. You know, you can't learn too much these days, man. You can't expose young men to too much. So we're going to keep doing it, man. Yeah, coming on late on tonight, man, we're going to have Mr. Gerald Balcom. He's with the Campus Connections program. We had a little miscommunication last week. We thought he was going to be here, but he's coming in tonight about 7:30. So we'll be talking to him in a little bit, too. But anyway, Joe, what's going on in Charlotte tonight, man?
Well, Charlotte is all geared up and excited for football. Of course, we got our first win this year.
Who was that?
Got it without Cam. I hope Cam does okay. They said he got hurt in practice or something. So. Anyway, nevertheless, we got a win out the deal. And of course, we still
Who did they beat?
They beat Arizona.
Right, my bad.
Beat Arizona in Arizona. Yeah.
You know what? I think they probably let the Carolina. I can't say that.
Go ahead and say it.
I don't understand Cam's outfits. I don't understand Cam's outfits.
Well, if you figure them out, tell everybody. Because they are definitely the talk of the town. I think when he got that concussion.
You think that's it?
Punch, you know, you had that concussion. And you know what happens when you get a concussion, right?
I know your brain gets shooken up or something. You shook up.
Yeah, your brain gets jelly. Shaken out of place.
Yeah.
And you know, that can have something to do with your, you know, if it's bad enough, it can affect the way you think. And of course, in the way you think, a lot of times it's reflected in the way you dress.
And that
so
is true.
He might have some
little,
he may have some bizarre thoughts going through his head, and he might need some help. Why are you laughing, man?
I mean, I'm not having it, brother. It's the concept of what you just said. He has some bizarre thoughts going in his head, and it's reflecting in his dress. Yeah, I understand that. I see that. I see that.
You can see that. You can understand where I'm coming from with that.
I actually do, man.
So,
I actually do.
So I hope the brother's all
right.
But
well, I actually thought you were
going to
say people all excited. Huh?
You thought you were going to say people excited about what?
I say I actually thought you were getting ready to say you were excited because tomorrow's mother's 99th birthday.
Wow.
Oh, you sound excited. You sound surprised.
Huh?
You sound surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. I am very much aware of it. Matter of fact, I just spoke with Cynthia. And, of course, she gave me a list of things I need to bring over there tonight in preparation for tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
So,
are we having a party?
Hmm?
We having a party?
We're going to have some type. Of course, we're going to have some type of celebration.
We're going to pile up. Hey, you know
we're
going to pile up.
Yeah, we're going to pile up. We ain't going to, miss an opportunity to pile up.
We're going to pile up like never before.
Pile up for my birthday. Hmm?
Oh, that's true. That is true. That is true.
Yeah, they're going to be a
pile up. Yeah, Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph, it's a lot going on, man. They look like they started some kind of inquiry with the Trump thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something, Joseph. Can I say something? Can I open up?
Yeah.
I'm tired, man. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of it. Tired of the stuff that goes on. It's just too much going on, man. It's just, and the world is so, it's just, I don't know how we're going to make it, bro. I don't know how it's going to work out.
You're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right, Mary Lou Hamer. Just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Every time you turn around, it's something else. Some kind of trickery, some kind of treachery.
Yeah.
Kind of mess. Every time we turn.
Huh? Yeah, there's a whole lot of trickery and a whole lot of. There's a whole lot of trickery going on. Whole lot of corruption and backstabbing and lying and cheating and stealing. And the reason I hate to see it go on at any level, because anytime I see corruption and lying and stealing and cheating and no morals, no ethics, a lack of integrity, it bothers me because I'm reminded of what Dr. Culber Jones said when we were in college. He said, in any given society, the oppressed people are going to pick up the worst habits of the oppressors. And see, and so when we see all of this old dirty mess going on, like in the Trump administration, it's only a matter of time we're going to see it within our own communities or within our own organizations, within our own leaders, because history tells us that it's going to happen. It tells us that it's going to happen. Just like, I've been telling you about all these white folks standing on the corner lately begging, holding up signs, asking for money. I went through that this week. Black folks done took over all their corners. You know what I'm saying?
Huh? Yeah, you mean they took the white folks' corners?
They don't took the white folks' corners.
Wow.
Like I say, boy, anything
they
one that...
down here on Bailey Ford Road. There's one down here on Bailey Ford Road that didn't take yet, bro. We just pulled in here down here on Bailey Ford Road. They didn't take... Down here on Bailey Ford Road, they didn't take this one down here yet, right off the... Right off the end.
Yeah, the white man down there.
Yeah, man.
That one still got a white man on it.
Yeah.
I think the white folks might have took the day off or something. But I was just disappointed. I was just disappointed to see black folks out there today, because normally, I mean, I don't want to see anybody out there, but it just goes to go back to what I was saying, how we pick up their worst habits. You follow me?
Right. Yeah, I do, man.
Anything you... Huh?
Yeah, I do. I see what you're saying.
Anything you see them doing that's not good, you can imagine, you can rest assured that pretty soon you're gonna see it in our community. Pretty soon.
And we thought it was the other way around.
Huh?
I thought it was the other way around, actually.
What?
Well, you know, I'm just saying what the thought concept is. You know, that's what the worry normally is. We got all the bad habits. We just found them ourselves from somewhere. Yeah.
No, we don't find them nowhere. There's nothing we came up with for bad habits are concerned. Because if you look at the history of, black people, you don't even have to go back 3,000 years when we ruled the earth, when we ruled the world. You can just go back about 4 or 5 decades ago, of how close-knit black folks were and how we looked out for each other and took care of our communities, and how we were proud people. When you went out in public, you dressed nice, you talked nice, and you acted nice. You know, you might have had one or two, people in the neighborhood that were just pretty much not up to the standards, but that was not the norm. You know, those people were singled out somewhat as outcasts. I mean, and I could say I've seen that transition take place in my lifetime. You know, where we just seem to embrace corruption, embrace bad behavior, embrace bad appearance. I mean, a few years back you'd be outcast for that. But the reason for that is because, here again, we are the oppressed people, and we just gonna pick up the habits of the oppressor. Black folk didn't know nothing about cocaine, not on a large scale, say 60 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't know nothing about that. You know, homosexuality wasn't accepted in the neighborhood. There was a few of it. You know, what I'm saying is, I'm not coming down on the LGBT community or whatever the alphabets, but, people have a right to do what they want to, but we all know that. Just like President Obama has said on many occasions, marriage is between a man and a woman. It's that simple. And we need to accept that as being the norm. But.
Yeah. Chris Joseph, we're going to take about a 2-minute break right quick. We're going to wish Mama a happy birthday right quick. And we'll be back in a couple of seconds in the... We are expecting Mr. Gerald Balcom with Campus Connections to show up in a little bit. But like I said, in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I'm down here at the Mail's Place in Charlotte. We got some young men in there hanging out. We expect them to come out with a new attitude. Anyway, in the meantime, happy birthday, Mama. We'll be over there tomorrow. Take a quick break, brother. All right. Happy birthday, Mama. Happy birthday, Mama. All right. Joseph, you still with me, brother?
Yes, brother, I'm still here, man.
We have a call on the line. Call on the line. How are you tonight? Caller trying to be quiet. Call on the line. I'm going to give you a last chance to say something. How you doing tonight, caller? You're on the line, okay? Let's hear from you. What you got? Okay.
I heard the phone. I heard the phone beeping.
Yeah. They're on there.
I heard they out there.
Say you're scared.
Scared, just say you're scared.
That's all. We're not mad at you. Well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers for Real radio show tonight. We kind of have open mic until we get our guest on, Mr. Gerald Balcom. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. We're talking about, well, Joseph and I have gotten into a conversation about so much mess. That's the only way I can come up with it at the moment, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a more intelligent word for it. There's so much mess going on, mess and trickery and treachery and backstabbing, backbiting. People, you know what? People don't know how to, there's not a decent way to move on anymore. There's not a decent way to say, okay, you won, you're winning, I'm moving on. It's not a decent way to say that anymore. I don't get it. I mean, we can start talking about elections, things of that nature. Like I say, we picked this foolishness up from somebody that once we get into an office, we're supposed to do everything crazy and crooked we can to stay in it. I don't get that.
Right.
The election process is there for a reason.
Well, you say you don't want to call it mess, but sometimes you can't call mess nothing but mess. There's no other word for it. I mean, when it's mess, it's just mess. And there's not another word for mess, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
And like I said, it just disturbs me to see Negroes now just want to be in mess. I mean, it seems like to me we ought to be ready to get out of mess.
Negroes in the highest level, from every level. It's
messed up.
Just a mess.
We about got to stop folks from messing with us. Other folks are messing with us, so now we messing with each other.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of crabs in a barrel. One start trying to crawl out, the other try to pull him down. You know, just go out and lie and all kind of stuff against your own brother. No morals or no decency or anything. We just need to do better. I mean, let's quit with so much mess.
They see that, children. But as you were saying earlier, we see that going on in the people we, I guess, admire. And we feel like we should do it, too.
It's okay to do it. We feel
that's why it's so dangerous for people in powerful positions to act foolish. Because people think that's the normal way to act.
That's right. And you can influence adults just as easily as you can influence children.
And that's because there's so many immature adults. Immature adults. But they say age ain't nothing but a number, and they're proving it more and more every day.
Yeah.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Position ain't nothing but a position. because people get in powerful positions and act just as stupid as anybody.
That's right. And you know, be like Prince said, act your age and not your shoe size. Mm. You see, that's what we got a lot of jokers out here now. They don't act the age, they act the shoe size. Just they children all their life. Get in position and still act like children.
Yeah.
Tell-a-tale.
Pretty bad joke.
Lying on each other.
It's not a good situation.
Jealous and
that we've
bothered my
found ourselves in. What was that last thing you said?
Yeah. You know, jealous,
yeah.
You know, like you got my toy, you know.
All right.
You don't let me play with your toy, so I'm gonna go tell it on you. I'm gonna make up something on you, make the teacher whip you.
Here's what I'm gonna say. If you have reached what a lot of us would consider a pinnacle of success, it would seem that you would use that power to lift people up and the organizations and et cetera that you're affiliated with, than to try to destroy them. If you have gotten to a position of power and you can't do anything but destroy everything behind you, everything that you've left behind, that is a bad look.
It's a real bad look. You know, a lot of people, but see, the problem comes in, you know, people, they become too wrapped up in themselves. And they forget about the organization. It's not what they can do for the organization, it's what the organization can do for them. And they just use the organization as a stepping stone to get to where they want to be. And, of course, and use an organization as a stepping stone, and they don't care who they step on the way to getting to where they want to be. And if it means tearing up the organization, destroying other people, it doesn't matter to these type of people.
And they got that from Trump. That's the way Trump is. That's the way the president of the United States. That's his motto. If I can't keep America, I'll burn it down. I'll burn the whole country down.
Right.
I'll destroy the whole country. And that's depressing.
See, and that's the way Hitler was. And you know, and of course, these crazy people can get a lot of people falling behind them. And I was reading a story about Hitler and his rise to power, and how he had this notion that he could rule the whole world. And of course, and we all know how that story ended. He didn't get to rule the whole world. And because of his action, Germany was reduced to ruins, and he ended up killing himself. And what he said at the end, the only thing he said was, this is what the historians say, he said, the only thing he said then was, well, I guess I was wrong. 65 million people dead. 65 million people were dead. And the key word was I. It was all about me. And I was able to get other people to buy into my distorted and perverted mind and follow me and go along with me. And you see, you have a lot of that going on now at all different levels. A lot of that going on. And at the end, if the organization is destroyed, if the community is destroyed, if the business is destroyed, if the school was destroyed, well, it don't matter. Because it wasn't about them. It was about me. It was about how I could rise and how powerful I would look. how many cars I can buy, how much jewelry I can wear. Churches are destroyed because of that type of mentality and that type of leadership. Not about how many souls you can save, but how many, whether I can buy, have my own private jet or not, or whether I can drive a Rolls Royce or not. Bad situation, brother.
We're in a pretty tough situation, Joe. I don't, you know, it's in a weird situation here, and it's hard for me to deal with mentally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for me to deal with some of this stuff that goes on now. When you feel so,
right,
you know, it's such a travesty, such a, such unfair and evil situation that you seemingly can't do anything about. That's pretty. That's put a pretty good hold on your brain, you know.
Yep.
Puts a pretty tough hold on your spirit. But you know,
you cry like Jeremiah.
You know, we just God is in control. Mm-hmm.
That's right, just like Jeremiah. That's the same thing that was going on in Gilead. And Jeremiah cried out, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there anybody who can heal this evilness and this wickedness? And like Dr. Martin Luther King said, when Jeremiah cried out and said, Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He said, yes, there is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick soul. And
amen.
The only person can do that is God Almighty.
That's right.
And that's,
amen. So we got to depend on that, bro.
And that's the point where
we
are.
Depend on that.
Right now, the only hope we
that's
have
right.
is with God through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All hope. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' love and righteousness.
Sure.
I dare to make the faintest call.
We go give Mom another son right quick, man, and we'll be right back. I'll be trying to talk to Mr. Jarrell Bacher when we get back. All right. Peace.
All right, man.
Oh, yeah. Don't you talk about my mother, man. You remember when you people used to say that, bro? Don't you talk about my mother. That would get you into some serious heat. I mean, that could get you a good whooping. A fairly good whooping. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. Like I said, I'm recording live tonight from the Mail's Place in Charlotte over here on Bates Ford Road at the Mecklenburg County Health Department. The Mail's Place is the place where they try to aim, where they aim to provide life skills and other help to 12 to 8-year-olds. So they will develop into responsible adults. They provide comprehensive and preventive health educational programs, enrichment experiences, and resources necessary for appropriate manhood development. You can go learn more about it at themailsplace.com. So, and it is being run by Mr. Reggie Singleton, who has been named the 2011 recipient of the National Whitney M. Young Award by the Boy Scouts of America. He's a very powerful young man. Give him some props when you see him. Like I say, we're at the Mail's Place. But just as exciting, we have on the show tonight Mr. Gerald Balcom. He's with the Campus Connection Organization. And he's going to share some information about Campus Connections, some of the things they're doing, some of the places they're going, some of the accomplishments they're making with young people all over North Carolina. And they're going all over the place, man. We had Mr. Balcom down at the Holler Center a couple of weeks ago. And just to hear the story is amazing. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Mr. Gerald Balcom. Mr. Balcom, how are you this evening, sir?
Doing good. Good evening. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing great, sir. So happy to have you on the show, man. How's everything
good.
Going?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Have you been on a trip lately?
Yes, we've already had two trips already. The first one we went to was Fayetteville State and North Carolina Central University. And the second one was last Saturday, Winston-Salem State University and Johnson C. Smith University. We still have 26 more that's on our schedule to do.
26 more colleges and universities.
Yes, from Florida to Delaware.
Wow. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Joseph, hey, Brother Balcom, Joseph Gatewood, who is a North Carolina Central University graduate, is on the line, and myself, I'm a Livingston College graduate. So we'd like to commend you on what you're doing, sir. We really do appreciate
you
what you're doing. Joseph, I'm going to let you say a little something right now, because I know you get excited every time someone even mentions NCCU.
Yes, when I heard him say North Carolina Central University, my ears stood straight up, because I am a proud alumnus of North Carolina Central University, and North Carolina Central, you know, has a strong history of producing, you know, great leaders, especially in the medical and the field of law. And, of course, we have that biomedical school up there, and I expect a lot of great things to come out of it. But one thing I would like to talk about is, I want to get some of your input on it, what is it that we can do to get black people and especially the alumnus of these different schools to be better supporters, to support more to the school, and to give, you know, those that have gone out and been successful, what is it we can do to get them to give back to the school?
You know, that's a wonderful question and a powerful one, too. We have a lack of knowledge for those that don't know our institutions, and I mean institutions, not just the colleges, but institutions, news or whatever. We have to educate and enlighten that we are good enough. So far as with the colleges and universities, they have done such a wonderful, tremendous job in educating a people, not only individual people, but people in general. And it breaks my heart a lot of times to hear those that that talk very highly of everybody else except for our own. And mm-hmm. it has done so much for our community, because without our HBCUs, we would hardly have a third of all the professionals in this country. We produce over half of all of doctors, lawyers, judges. We produce right at 80% of that group of professionals. And we never, ever consider how important those institutions are to us. Livingstone, Smith, Fayetteville State. North Carolina has more HBCUs, second in the nation. But we have to be able to support, give back to what gave to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, brother. Yeah. Mention something, brother. Brother Bible, so what inspired you to do what you do?
The thing that inspired me most was my experience of leaving home in Monroe, North Carolina, and going to college at Johnson C. Smith University. Johnson C. Smith developed within me confidence as well as a purpose of why I was created. Going to Johnson C. Smith University taught me a lot. Professionalism taught me how to care for society other than just myself. But I wanted to always give back, and the more I talked to high school students back in the 80s, the more I realized they knew nothing about our institutions. They knew nothing about our colleges and universities. And that's where we started in 1985. Since 1985, we have produced over 4,000 collegiate students that have gone on to college, gone on to higher levels in all fields. So it's been a wonderful walk.
Right.
Hey, Joe.
And just to reflect on what he's saying, every time I think about, going to North Carolina Central University, I just start to feel emotional. Because I think about in 1971, in the fall of 1971, I was in a cotton field. I was in a cotton patch. And in the fall of 1972, I entered North Carolina Central University. One of the finest institutions of higher learning in America. And
mm-hmm.
was able to meet brilliant people from all over the world, students and professors. Just like, for example, when I was there, I got to meet Stokely Carmichael. I got to meet Dr. Martin Luther King Sr.
Oh, yeah.
I had another professor. He had been on the cabinet in Bangladesh, and he had actually met people like Brezhnev and Mao Zedong, and so when he talked about them, he was talking about them just like he knew them, and he actually sat down with these guys,
mm-hmm.
People from Africa and Korea. I mean, it was just a wonderful, marvelous experience, and of course, and with all that too. You had loving and caring and people that really nurtured you and were really concerned about your success, not only in the classroom, but your success in life. And, really cared about how you were doing. And I just can't imagine that I would have gotten that from any other place other than an HBCU.
I agree. That's where I got my feet wet was at Johnson C. Smith University, and Smith still means the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina Central has grown to higher levels, and it's a wonderful, wonderful shining light on the hill in Durham, North Carolina.
That's right. You were talking about how you met those amazing people. I met how close and personal you get with people who came throughout history, like Rosa Parks. I was actually on a program where I had to introduce Rosa Parks as the speaker. I mean, when I tell young people that these days, you know, I go around when I'm talking to the kids at school, they look at me like they don't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, you know, it's in their history books, and they're like, this guy's sitting here talking about he introduced Rosa Parks to speak. Now, she was an elderly lady when I did, but I actually did introduce her to speak when I was at Livingstone. And I also got to pick up Mr. Dick Gregory from the airport, take him to the airport. You know, all kinds of people like the Reverend Leon Sullivan was my commencement speaker. He's the one that told the story about how, you remember that? You remember him, Joseph?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that told the story about the Piggly Wiggly and the Hoggly Woggly. Yeah. So, that's an amazing experience.
No more Piggly Wiggly, it's Hoggly Woggly. You know how that story went, Leon?
Yeah, I know. When he said that they had built a Piggly Wiggly, the black folks had built a Piggly Wiggly down in that community. And, of course, you know, back in the day, the white folks didn't like it. So the white folk came out there and told them one day and said, y'all Negroes need to have this Piggly Wiggly closed by 12 o'clock tomorrow. So 12 o'clock the next day, sure enough, they were out there with their sticks and guns and everything. We told you Negroes to close this place down by 12 o'clock today. And he stood there in the threshold of the place. He said, look up, white folks. It ain't Piggly Wiggly no more. It's Hoggly Woggly now. He was saying that to say, you know, we just have to be bold, you know.
Right.
Once we get started doing things, he was telling that to encourage us young people that we were running into obstacles, but we just weren't long to be doing the right thing, and we in our freedom, the rights of our freedom, we have to be bold in what we're doing. Not allow anybody to stand us down. Yeah.
Right.
So it was a beautiful experience at Livingstone. Beautiful, beautiful experience at Livingstone.
Yeah, and I pull a lot from what my college professors, and like I said, and the thing about when you were at a HBCU, I mean, these guys, they actually were preparing you for life. They are telling you what type of obstacles you're going to face out in the world. You know, you just don't have your head buried in the book, because they understand that you can be brilliant and big in book knowledge, but if you don't know how to get out here and manipulate, you know, navigate this mean and racist world, you're still not going to make it.
That's right.
And just like one of my college professors, he would always say, he would say, ignorance is bliss. He said, but when it's organized, it's devastating. You know, and every time I see what's going on in the world now, I think about what that college professor said about how devastating it was when ignorance gets organized. And we see a lot of organized ignorance out here now.
Yes. Yes.
But I know how to deal with it, because I was prepared at North Carolina Central University. And I'm not surprised.
Absolutely.
When I see it.
Absolutely. Mr. Barker, tell us about
your
program, how people can get involved with it, what it takes to get involved with it, how we can just fill us in on it, sir. I'm excited because I've seen you in motion, and hearing these statistics you just gave us, or the data you just gave us, how many people you've sent through the program, and successfully, I mean, since 1985, was it?
Since 1985.
Yes,
Campus Connections has been in existence that long, since 1985. We have a board of directors, people that are really caring and loving for youth and want to see our future enhanced by the education of our children going into the different many professions. We cover North and South Carolina with our students from Florence, Dillon, South Carolina, Greensboro, Charlotte, Spartanburg, all over the state of North and South Carolina. We average 155 students per year. Right now we have, for this year, 100 students that's enrolled in Campus Connections, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students. We get over $15 million in scholarship offers per year from our universities for our students. That has been a tremendous asset, especially to our families. So far as the areas of their lives that we are going to be involved with them in touching their lives, we're going to touch them spiritually. Number one, we are a spiritual ministry, a Christian ministry. Mm-hmm. Number two, we are going to enlighten them professionally on what it takes to be professional in the fields that they're going into. They need to know about what each field is going to need coming from each student. And most of our students have very little ideas about how to be successful in college and what it's going to take. The third area is going to be academic. We want to enhance the academics. A lot of our students don't have the information that they need to be successful coming out of high school. We are very closely related with our colleges, that the colleges will also step in as well as enlighten students about testing, about academic preparation, internships. They are going to be very much more advanced than the average student coming out of high school going to college. Three out of four students that we have are looking at going on to graduate school, looking at going to graduate school. About 70% of all of our students graduate in 4 years. That is tremendous when it comes to our students graduating in 4 years.
What do you owe that to? What do you what about your program?
They're going to hear not only from me or Campus Connections. They're going to hear from the universities about what they need to have to be successful. A lot of these things that the students never hear, they experience. They experience once they get into college. Our students are a little bit more further advanced about what they need to be doing. They go into college a little bit more mature. We are going to have them to interact not only with us, but as well as with the college's mentoring. They're going to be mentored. So this is one reason why a lot of the colleges are very much attractive and drawn to the students that are in Campus Connections. But it's been a tremendous journey. I thank God for all the prayers that have gone out for Campus Connections and our students and our families. But it has gone through some hard times, but it's always made us smile because of the journey.
That's a beautiful thing, though. It's a beautiful thing what you're doing. And how is this machine funded? That sounds like a monumental, that's the word I can think of now. That sounds like a monumental task running up and down the coast with about 100 kids, spending the night, several nights over the period.
Oh, yeah.
How is this funded?
Yes. Campus Connection is nonprofit. There is a fee charged to each family. We do have support from several churches that draw alongside to give us support in finances that will go towards scholarships to some students. We don't have all that we need to have. We have some of what we need to have. And the cost of buses, the cost of hotels have increased tremendously throughout the years. We've seen it multiply and multiply and multiply. But the reward has been, and it's treated as an investment for each family, but it's been a tremendous asset to the parents as well as the students. We are now interacting with individual citizens that's in our different communities and creating a fund for our students that would be able to take the edge off that cost for them. We have students that have a hard time so far as taking care of the full cost of the program. That's why we have those that are supporting us. We have several churches that have been so kind to give us support throughout these years. And we need more. We need more.
Very good. Now, SAT score has increased tremendously, I understand, through the program.
Oh, yes.
And that's important.
Yes, it is.
That's because you guys have classes and things of that nature, of course. I think you might have mentioned that.
Yes.
So one of the things we're noticing about kids is they don't take the SAT test early enough.
Right.
Now, what does your group, how does your group address that?
One of the things that we address so far is about testing. And through the years, we've had some challenges, even from some educators, about starting out with children early so far as testing. We have a gentleman called Nathan Tibbs. He is a wonderful, very, very genius of a gentleman so far as teaching testing. And he averaged increasing SAT scores close to 200 points. It's a very sharp class that students grow so far as with the testing. I don't know how many people know, but a lot of people, when I share this information with them, they don't realize that our children are right at the bottom of SAT testing, not only SAT but ACT as well. And that is a hindrance when it comes to getting scholarships, because you may have the GPA, but if you don't have the SAT or the ACT score, you're going to be missing out on scholarships. And we are instructing our families that we want to see students start as early as 7th and 8th grade in testing on SATs as well as ACTs. It does not count 7th, 8th, 9th grade, but it counts 10th grade. We want them to have that experience of being able to take that test, understand what the test is about. So we look for them to be further down the road when they're in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. We want them to take the test each year. Matter of fact, their 11th grade year should be treated just like their senior year. There's a lot of things I'd love to say about that if I had more time to do it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll make sure you come back and say everything you need to say, because this is a very important this is a very important situation here. I know you said that they could take an SAT. I know some institutions allow you to take the SAT once you get there. I mean, but that's normally, that's not the norm, let me put it that way.
That's right.
That is not the norm, especially if you're trying to get scholarships and things of that nature. So it's very important that we have. So how does, say for instance, somebody listening and says, how can I get in touch with Mr. Balcom, and how can we get him more involved in my community? You know, because I'm sure people are listening and saying, where has this guy been? where is he? You know. So.
Well, I've been there for 35 years, and it's been a journey. It hasn't always been welcome in all communities. But we are in all communities. That you just need to pick the phone up, dial 980-253-6070. 980-253-6070. 6070. For a student to come into the program, a student and a parent or guardian must meet with me to go through full detail of the program.
Gotcha. We're going to share that information on our website. We're going to share it on our Facebook page. We're going to share it on our on this radio podcast. We're going to share all that information because we know people need to know. They need to know about this if they don't. You know what I mean? If they don't want to know, they need to know.
Yes, they do.
Yes, sir, because it is amazing. To what the, what you're doing in them is amazing. And I just, since I've met you, I haven't stopped talking about it. Every time I visit a school on our, in our community, I share the information and I tell them we need to get it. We need to get this guy to come in and out of this community as much as possible, because our kids are missing the boat a lot. You know, counties like ours, because you know, people kind of overlook us, but it's up to us, the people in the community, to make sure we use our arms to reach out and pull people like you in, you know. So that's what we try to do with the HALA organization, and we're going to continue to keep doing that. And I really appreciate you sharing your information with us tonight. Joseph and Mr. Balcom, our time is about to run out. Joseph, do you have anything you'd like to share or any other questions you have for Mr. Balcom?
No, I just want to commend him on doing a fantastic job, and just tell him to keep up the good work and it's the efforts of people like him that keeps hope alive.
Well, thank you, and I hope this will not be our last time together.
Mr. Balcom, I can assure you it will not be our last time together. And like I say, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real radio show. We're here every Wednesday night from about 7 until 8. And tonight, like I said earlier, we're at the Males Place up here in Charlotte, where they aim to provide life skills and other help to 12 to 18-year-old boys. Now, Mr. Balcom, I understand there is a male shortage in young men involved in your program. So I'm going to share this to your information also with Mr. Reggie Singleton here. Are you familiar with Mr. Singleton here at the Males Place in Charlotte?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Well, okay, great. Well, we're going to make sure you guys form a better, you know, closer partnership, because he's got the guys in there you won't, trust me. He's in there training those young men right now to be men. That's his whole objective, to make sure that they develop into responsible adults. And, of course, one of the best ways that I know to develop into a responsible adult is to go to a good HBCU and get a good education. Because once you step your feet on an HBCU, you're guaranteed to be in a place that is nurturing. Because I, like I say, came through Livingstone, and it was an amazing place for me to be. And I would like to thank God for that place and all other HBCUs. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to pack up and get up out of here. Brother Balcom, you can feel free to call in anytime. You have our number, but I'm not going to wait on you to do that. Yes, sir. I'm not going to wait on you to do that, though, because I'm going to reach out to you and make sure we keep and stay in touch. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real radio show. We're getting ready to get out of here and go see Mama tomorrow and wish her a happy 99th birthday. Everybody have a good night. All right. Thank you, brothers.